Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. If you haven't subscribed, do that right here. Subscribe to the show. Get your ALN clips, your episodes, all your goodies and treats. Trick or treat, by the way. Trick or treat, smell my feet. Somebody said that to me recently and I was like, you're an adult. But happy pre-Halloween. Be safe. I know that people put razor blades and, Plan B and inside the candy corns and the Milky Ways, but I digress. That's a story for another day. Today's episode is a doozy. We got the one and only TJ Miller. You know him from Silicon Valley, My Idiot Brother, Deadpool, Carpoolers, Conan, his stand-up special right now. Dear Jonah is streaming on YouTube, and it's fucking hilarious. He's one of my faves. It's a great episode, top to bottom. So many laughs, so many improvs, so many goofs. You're going to love it. Follow him at Teenage Millionaire on Twitter and Instagram. TJ Miller does not have a website. .com is his website for tour dates. Check that out. Check me out, AdamRayComedy.com, for all my tour dates. And we got a bunch coming up. I will be announcing these soon, but just to give you a few, we're coming to Knoxville, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, Birmingham, Alabama, Seattle, Washington, Lexington, Kentucky, Denver, Colorado, Sacramento, California, San Jose, California, Santa Rosa, California, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, Nevada, Timonium, Maryland, Batavia, Illinois, San Francisco, California, Royal Oak, Michigan, San Diego, California, Richmond, Virginia, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona, Salem, Oregon, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Fort Worth, Texas. So get all those tickets at AdamRayComedy.com, Twitter and Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy, TikTok, sir, Dumb and Dumber, one of my favorite movies, my favorite movie, Adam Ray Comedy on TikTok, and of course my specials, Read the Room, Live from Madison, on my YouTube. Young Rock comes back November 4th on NBC, Season 3, I'm Vince McMahon. Welcome to Chippendales drops Hulu November 22nd. The School for Good and Evil on Netflix from director Paul Feig, who gave you Bridesmaids, The Heat, and Spy. I'm in that. That comes out on Netflix October 19th. And welcome to Flatch. I'm in that show. I play Jamie Presley's ex-husband. I don't know when my episodes drop. I think later in the season, but that's on Fox on Thursdays. Enjoy the episode. TJ Miller.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast.
I'm taking this moment to announce a Hollywood Squares only podcast hosted by me and TJ Miller.
Really excited for it, guys. It's something that you haven't heard before because no one's heard of it.
It's called Circle Gets a Square.
Yeah, exactly. It's called Square Peg, Huge Hole.
Yeah. Remember they used to say that, Circle Gets a Square, when you got the right answer. Remember?
Circle Gets a Square.
Because everyone's in a square.
My favorite thing was Rip Torn.
Yeah.
And then the guy who, his name was Paul...
Giamatti.
No.
Was Giamatti ever on the squares?
Just somehow that works. It was Paul Giamatti. He's so funny. He's his whole, Paul Lind. I need to look it up. And he was so funny because he had all those quips where it's like, what is, and I can, should we not
let's do
use
it.
These?
You want to cans it up for me, Mo? Turn up the audio in the cans. Can you hear yourself?
No.
Turn it up.
There we
up.
Go.
There we go. A little bit more.
Now
a little bit more.
Yep. Yep. Now yep. it's yep. real.
Yep. That sounds good.
And so,
Paul Lind.
Yeah. And so he was, that's, it's interesting. On the last podcast too, I'm like forgetting stuff. I think as it's just been overloaded with press for Dear Jonah.
Bro. And let me
now
just.
Now streaming on YouTube, my stand-up special.
Let me just stop the presses right now to say, there's a lot of specials out there. Stop watching anything but Dear Jonah and put Dear Jonah on. Stream it on YouTube now. Type in TJ Miller stand-up special or Dear Jonah, or type in Jonah Hill, then delete Hill and add TJ Miller.
But like, take a quick look at Jonah Hill over the years.
Nice body of work.
A lot of changes. A
lot of changes.
A lot of changes. A lot of
upgrades. So many changes. Bruce Hornsby retitled the song... That's just the way it is.
That's just,
about Jonah Hill's changes.
That's it. David Bowie was talking about him.
Yeah, that's who did changes. Tupac did changes
can
too,
you
right?
Pull your pants down. Not from the waist, but near the calves. There's a lot of ankle there. That's why he has so much sock.
Yeah. Disgusting. What's your sock to ankle ratio on a regular day-to-day basis?
I try and do very little ankle.
Yeah. Do you wear socks?
Yeah. I don't understand people that don't wear socks.
That's what I'm getting at.
Are you wearing them?
Always.
Always.
Socks
are
sandals.
Do you do flip-flops?
Oh, yeah. Around the house.
But never in public.
I've been chastised for wearing flip-flops, like, to sporting events.
You ever wear them on stage?
No.
No.
But guess what? No judgment. I'm going to take back that response. You know? I
feel no. Like, you can't. No!
Yeah! I feel like...
Just puke on the mic. Yeah, we're flip-flops on stage. Hey, but and no judgment. Oh, no. There's nothing left. Well, it's still coming out there.
Hey, real quick. When's the last time you truly puked? And it felt good after.
Wow. I don't. Wow. Yeah. Not so recently, but I did puke on. Have you ever been puking and they were supposed to introduce you for the show?
I've been pooping and. Yes, I have.
Have you?
Oh, I've done all the things. I've done all the things that
all of the body things.
No, you know, I'm saying like, you know, some sex before, some drinking before.
Done that.
Some puking before, some pooping before.
Yeah, I've ejaculated right before and I didn't know why. Just on the way to stage, I was like, oh, whoa, whoopsies. That's what I say when I ejaculate.
Funniest,
in the bedroom.
By the way.
Oh, whoopsies.
If you're a porn star, that's your catchphrase.
I would love that.
TJ come too early.
TJ come too early, Miller. Come too early.
CTE.
Is that the number two in between?
Like he's got
maybe.
CTE. Oh, what's wrong with his head?
He's
well, not the one you're thinking of.
CTE. Yeah. He has brain damage. CTE? No. He did that with or without the brain damage, but I'll tell you what, it comes fast and it comes hard. Talking about his wee.
Yeah.
Wiener.
I love Wiener, by the way. I've been kind of throwing that back into the rotation.
I think that's much better. But Adam Kroll, a couple of people did Hog.
Hog's all right.
Look at the Hog on that one.
Hog is funny.
Wiener is fun because it's not intimidating.
No, it's not aggressive.
You could say that to a woman.
I feel like
Would you like to see my Wiener?
Had Louis C.K. been
and
like...
And she's hungry. You show her bratwurst.
They get a food.
But it's fucking duct taped to your dick.
This is
and
where
then
the problem.
She's going, yum on one, no go on two. And you go, which is which? She goes, you decide. Just walks out. You never see her again. But you take a good long gander at the sausage duct taped to your dick.
By the way, definitely.
And you say, which is which? Sabrina, the teenage witch, is which?
Who was the voice of that cat on that show?
Everybody thought the podcast would go here.
Oh, 1,000%.
Everybody watching.
You, hey, man, you drive the ship. I'm honored to be on board.
I puked from taking Zantac, which I wouldn't understand, but I used to have terrible acid reflux.
Which is OTC, over the counter.
It's OTC. ODB. OTC.
You imagine a write-it employee?
CTE. Yeah.
You're taking this OTC because of your CTE? You're like,
yeah.
Who fucking told you, Gary?
You're getting a CTE, aren't you? Yeah, Gary. We all know your name is Gary. Okay, so stop introducing yourself as Greg, you dumb shit.
Well, I've had some confrontations with some write-it employees.
With Greg versus Gary. From a Gary to a Greg, I don't give a shit. In Dear Jonah, I have a joke about how every Greg needs an egg.
Yes, oh my God,
and it's
such
very,
a good bit.
It's very true. Kate and I were just joking about that, saying every Greg needs an egg. We would just, it's stupid.
As a
just
fun
rhymes.
Inside joke saying, right?
And then we were with her friend got married, and her dad's name is Greg. He's a real Greg. And that particular Greg, he and I were talking about the pandemic and airports. A lot of Dear Jonah's pandemic humor, because I was like, I got to burn this.
Yeah.
It's not going to make sense later.
Yeah.
And it was going to be called the pandemic special. Mm. And when I did it, I went in, you know this, the second show Friday is always the worst show. And it can be a disaster.
Yeah.
People can be really drunk. It can get really out of control. So I'm filming the special in Nashville, and I do... the first show on Friday, I filmed four shows. And the first show Friday, I was like, oh boy, that wasn't great. And then the second show, I said, well, look, if it gets out of hand, then I'm just going to riff and we'll just have that to put on social media or whatever. And the director was like, no, we just do the same
right
set. So I get on stage, ready to riff, and immediately it's the best audience. I know it right away. I'm like, this fucking audience is perfect. It's amazing. And then some guy in the front starts heckling. Some drunk asshole is like,
fuck.
And it's that drunk where he doesn't know that anybody else is in the room.
Oh.
So it's like positive heckling. He's like, yeah, that's true. I've been through that. And I was hilarious. It's true. He's right. And I go, just shut up. I'm just going to ignore him. And I can't. He keeps. So I go in and I say, I just talked to him. And you were in cargo pants. What's your cargo?
Yes.
What's your weight? What's your freight? What are you hauling? And
this was this guy.
He immediately responds with this long explanation of why he wears cargo pants, even though there's nothing in the pockets.
Yeah.
And after a couple seconds, everybody realizes, everyone in the room, oh, this guy's not drunk at all. This guy is intellectually divergent. Neurodivergent is what they're calling it now. But he's developmentally challenged.
Yes.
Special needs. And the whole audience is like, oh, no.
It's tense.
What is TJ going to do? Because in Deadpool, I insult Ryan Reynolds all the time. And then I have the very, the privilege as Ehrlich from Silicon Valley just fucking trash everybody in that show. So they're thinking.
They're expecting a slam.
What is he going to do?
Yeah.
And I just said, I want all of you guys to know that I am not going to make fun of him at all. And the place explodes because the tension has been
raised. It was awesome.
And
it's honestly one of my favorite parts of the special.
Yeah, I think it is the
you
best
have a,
part.
A, no,
the
a
best
plethora
part
of
is
great.
When he says, yeah, he mentions his favorite part of the show. It's the funniest part of the whole. But I say that, and I tell him I like wearing things because they're comfortable too. I don't use all my pockets.
Yeah.
It's and selfish. Then I keep going. It is selfish. And then I keep going, and he just interrupts again, and then I incorporate him in the show. And then I start incorporating him more and more, and then he becomes the closer, and he has the funniest moment, and he sort of becomes the star of the show. And that's why I renamed the pandemic special. I renamed it Dear Jonah, because it's sort of a love letter to him and kind of bringing him up, and he is the best part of the show. And so it's interesting, too, because it did two great things for me. One, it's a really good representation of the fact that I will riff. I will completely,
1,000%.
Wherever the show is going, that's where I'll go.
You've always
that's
been
really
that way,
thing.
By the way.
Always. Yeah. So it's a good thing to tell people is like, you know, and I'm going to improvise. If you see a live show, it's going to be that night. That's it. And then the other thing that it shows is like, I'm not a bad dude. I'm not an asshole.
No.
I really am this guy, as Kate would say over and over, it shows the shape of your heart and it takes everything within me not to be like, that sounds stupid. Stop saying that. Okay. It's embarrassing to me.
The sentiment.
To you. I'm embarrassed for you. And I'm even embarrassed for the people that are overhearing this. I'll
walls.
Turn to be like, this is really sad that
I'm
you're
future
here.
Embarrassed for the story.
Future embarrassed. And so, no, but it really does. It kind of shows who I love the special, but you have to watch the whole thing. You have to watch all the way through to get to the ending. And I know that people don't do that, but this is one of the ones. So it really is lightning in a bottle. And it really was kind of this absolutely perfect sort of thing. And it was all because second show Friday, he happened to be there. The audience happened to be the most amazing.
They were great.
Because when you do a special, how many shows are you?
Usually two or three.
And is it, did you do, you go to a theater? Is that in your mind how you do it? Have you ever shot one
at a club?
I've
only
ever
done it at clubs, yeah.
Which I
the
think is right.
The next one is going to be a theater, yeah.
But I love, see, I don't want to do that. I love the clubs.
Bro.
Although Tampa Improv is in a theater, and that's, I shot this special, you'll like this, because you're so hardcore. I shot a special, and then 3 weeks later, I shot a completely different special.
What?
A completely different hour-long special.
What?
Yeah.
Where's the
that's
Tampa
gotta,
one?
That's got to be a fucking, that's got to be a record or something like that.
Yeah,
the Tampa one is in the can, and I got to wait, but I'm going to release it early next year.
Awesome.
And then I'm shooting another one in March.
Wow. you just write like crazy, or you just been sitting on material?
I've been sitting on that. It's called the Philosophy Circus. I've been sitting on that for too long. And then Dear Joan is out right now. And then the one that I'm going to shoot in March is, it's going to be at the American Comedy Company.
Yeah,
in San Diego. You know that one. Yeah. And it's great. And that's going to be really stripped down. I don't know the name of it yet, but that's more stories about Hollywood. My wife and I having, Kate and I did a fertility thing.
Oh, wow.
Doing that. And then just other dumb, but it's mostly stories, you know? Because I need one like that. That's a fucking kill room. That's amazing.
And underground, and feels like you shouldn't be down there for some reason.
Yeah,
and
it like does have that. It's a secret. The fucking ceilings are super low.
Real low. Oh, so you want to do one where you're kind of like peeling the curtain back.
I like that. And I also want to do one where it's just people handheld, really like, it just feels really raw.
Cloverfield style?
Stupid. Yeah, Cloverfield style. Not underwater stuff.
Remember when I saw that in the theaters and I was like,
did you?
I was like, oh, TJ's a movie star.
No, I think you were there and you're like, I feel woozy. I'm sick.
No,
it's giving me motion sickness.
Not at all. I was high as fuck and I loved it.
Were you?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Do you prefer going to see movies high or sober?
Depends. If there's a dog, if it's Air Bud 1 through 6, high as fuck.
And you did see that in theaters. Yeah.
I wish. They were all straight to DVD. I think one of them
we all know this about you. You would rent a theater. And then you would play the DVD.
I'm a generous
guy. And it was expensive. You did it for the friends and the fans and the family.
Yep.
And after about Air Bud 4, people stopped going. I remember I got there for Air Bud 6. There's no one in the theater, just Adam. And he was like, thanks for coming. And I was like, I think I'm in the wrong place.
He's actually
trying to go to a CVS. And you're like, well, I'm playing it over and over just in the hopes that somebody comes. It's every 2 hours on the hour.
Oh, God.
Hey, I've got Bud. We're smoking Bud.
I think the sports weren't believable at that point.
I think that was the problem.
Everyone got behind
soccer.
When
he went into the luge. Right. That was a problem.
He can't steer that.
Although, he's making a comeback. Do you guys know this? Air Bud 9 is pickleball. Pickleball. The dumbest name for any sport. And I play squash.
Do you really?
Yeah. It'll be like, what about gourd? You very good at gourd?
What the fuck is that?
It's just bullshit. There's no gourd. It's just a squash. Other gourds. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin, dude, real quick.
Pickleball. I'm actually trying to meet with somebody tomorrow because
to buy a pumpkin.
I don't know if you
farm.
Guys know this, and I should have brought, I'm gonna send you some hot sauce and peanut butter.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I make hot sauce.
Yes.
I make peanut butter. And I'm trying, you can get them on my site, tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. Soon to be on Amazon.
Ooh.
Who knows? Who knows? And so I did it. So I'm into foodstuffs. I'm trying to sell food. I want to be the Paul Newman of comedy, not salad dressing.
Let it be. Wow.
And so I want to meet with this guy called the Pickle Dude, and I'm going to start having my own line of pickles. I want to do is smoky dill pickles.
Oh my God. That was my nickname in high school. Can I tell you something?
And you know what they were talking about? Your hog, your wiener. Old pickle dick. That's what they used to call you in college. I don't know why. Salty. That's what the ladies said.
Yeah. Well,
dill.
A
strong taste of dill.
Oh God. Yeah.
And so I want to start selling smoky dill pickles.
I had a pickle on the way over. It's my favorite snack.
My favorite. You ever had it with peanut butter? Got to try it.
No.
I know it's disgusting.
My dog's name is Pickles.
Really? My dog's name is Have You Had It With Peanut Butter? It's a long name. It's hyphenated. It's hard to shame her.
By the time you get the full name out.
That's a bad. Have you tried it with pickles?
Yeah, no.
Now, have you tried it with pickles? Go outside.
Yeah, no.
Look at this mess you made with the peanut butter. And I want to do smoky dill pickles. Nickname.
What made you want to do this?
And then, because I love pickles. Okay. I love peanut butter. I love hot sauce. I love pickles.
The hot sauce and peanut butter is doing well enough that you're like, let's.
You know what I want to do is, and he's already doing this. Pickled pineapples.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever thought of such a thing?
No. Nope.
And it's delicious.
If I saw them in the same room together, I wouldn't question why they're talking to each other.
What? Dill pickles and...
Pineapples.
Pickled pineapple?
Pickles.
If I saw
pickled
pickles
pineapple.
Talking to pickled pineapple in a room, I would freak the fuck out. Because they're food. They can't talk. Good God, Adam. Go to the doctor. Jesus Christ.
I meant All right. I didn't know you meant it together. Yeah. Pickles. I thought, so a pickled pineapple, like pineapple that tastes like pickles.
No, it's pickled pineapple. We'll be right back. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
We'll keep it right
here. That's it.
Go ahead. A pineapple that's pickled.
A pineapple that's pickled. It's delicious. You would never think that because you'd think it must taste. It does.
I still don't think that
thing.
What is it? How does something?
I will remain stalwartly not believing that.
How does something become pickled?
You got to put it in brine,
right?
And then you got to let it absorb the brine, but over a long period of time. And this is all organic and stuff. So that's what we're trying to figure out: is cool. How do we get it to the comedy clubs for merch?
Oh my God! Yeah.
But that's what I'm doing. My merch right now is peanut butters and hot sauce.
The hot sauce you brought last time, and it's delicious.
It's delicious.
And I'm not even a huge hot sauce guy. And my fiance fucking went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for it and put it on Cocoa Puffs.
Put on Cocoa Puffs. She put Cocoa Puffs on the fucking
she's
hot
not well.
Sauce.
But,
she's not doing well.
when they say dude going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, that's what the bird was doing.
Yeah, he was losing his.
He was also on fucking a lot of pills.
Oh, God.
He was fucking a box of Cocoa Puffs in front of kids.
Like, yeah, he was snorting that shit.
During the commercial, like dry humping it, they were like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Do the lines. He's like, I'm doing the lines.
No.
The script,
no,
Peter.
Say the lines. I'll tell you what I'm saying. I need more cocaine. What? Cocaine. Cocaine puffs. Cocoa gadget. Coke.
Coke, gadget, coke. And then they go cut. They go, I'm going to take five.
He's like, I'll take five more fucking bumps. Give me a line, Daddy. I'm a talking bird.
I'd love to see a dark-com about the cereal mascots.
Dark-com. Is that a phrase in Hollywood? Like a dark comedy?
Dark comedy.
Rom-com,
no,
dark-com.
Just didn't feel like filling it out. But
Cocoa Pong.
Yeah.
Cocoa Pong. Cocoa Com. That's where the cocoa bird...
real quick. Actually, I'll come back to it. Okay, so peanut butter. You started that because the hot sauce was what? Like these are your favorite foods, and you just said I want to.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
You're a foodie. How does it come?
Do anything other than pickles? I thought I don't want to do a T-shirt. Everybody's doing T-shirt. Yeah. I don't want to do a bumper sticker. Nobody needs another T-shirt or a bumper stick. Nobody needs a magnet. So.
That's a great T-shirt.
What do I want to say? Everybody needs a magnet.
Nobody needs a magnet.
Nobody needs a magnet is the T-shirt.
Yeah.
My wife wanted me to get rid of this.
Ooh.
That'd be a good one.
That's actually great.
All right. That's why we come and do the show.
That's why we show up.
All right. It's been great, guys. Thank you so much. It didn't take long, but
my wife
I've got
me
my
to get
T-shirt
rid of this.
Idea.
That's fucking brilliant, actually.
My wife wanted me to get rid of this. Oh, shit. I just texted it to my wife. Fuck. That's why you don't get married. What about you? You think...
3 weeks I'm getting married.
Yeah, about it?
What about it, man? Feeling good. We're just talking.
Are you nervous? Do you have a wedding band picked out?
Yeah, got it all. Now it's just vows and I guess the...
And fear.
Rehearsal dinner menu
just
and fear.
Vows and fear.
Vows and fear. But I'm wearing a No Fear t-shirt under my tux.
That's what I heard about you.
Bottom of the ninth, two outs, full count.
I love it.
My wife wanted me to get rid of this.
Under Armour. That's what it said. They sponsored you. You have to leave two buttons open just in case.
So that everyone's like, is that an Under Armour
mesh
tank?
What are you most, are you concerned about anything?
No, honestly, we've gotten through the crazy fights that I was telling Mo, I go, I don't think you're, you deserve to get married unless you've had this fight at least once. Well, then maybe we shouldn't even do it.
Yeah, that's great.
It's happened.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
Here's
and then when you get through it, you are stronger. You're better. And now I'm very chill because I've been very chill the whole time because
well, you're a chill guy.
And also, I think dudes just on a whole, right? Like this is...
No. There's a lot of guys who get into the moment of it all.
Okay.
And they get pissed off. But you're just a guy who I just don't... I see you as a guy who's going to be like, all right. Yeah, of course.
I'm trying to be because she's getting stressed about some
stuff. Oh, they're getting nuts, of course, because she's been thinking about it her whole life.
Yeah. Even just getting these like drink menus back and we try to do some fun facts about, we had our picture of our pickle, of pickles, our dog on that said, wipe your paws for the napkins. And then she was like, is the color too? Is it not a good? I'm like,
nobody gives a shit.
Exactly. I go, they're going to see her face, read, wipe your paws, go, that was cute. And that's it. And that's probably it wipe their ass with it.
Yeah.
At the table.
Or wipe a dog's ass. Use a pickle, put it in a... I don't want to talk about that. So I think,
Save it for the next special.
So Cash Levy, who I do a podcast with him called Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Love it.
And he's the host of the show. He's had a tough time getting guests. So I've been the only guest on the show for 7.5 years.
So good.
And so, fun. You got to check it out. But we talk about all kinds of stuff. And what he told me, and it's true, on the eve of your engagement or the eve of your marriage, get in a huge fight with your fiance. Huge fight. Your soon-to-be fiance. And here's why. No matter what, the next day it's totally it's erased.
Ooh. So it's almost like you're playing with house money.
Engagement. Yes. It works better with getting engaged, but it works pretty well on your fucking wedding day too, because they get, so what you do is you bring up all the stuff that you've wanted to bring up that you just can't, because by the time the wedding's over, it goes well. It always goes well.
Yeah.
If you've got a girl who fucking complains about everything, is so upset. If you're a guy who complains about everything, is so upset, then the wedding's gonna go bad no matter what.
Yeah.
So you just gotta let that go for your partner and let him go through that. But most people, when the wedding's done, they're just so relieved
that
it's done.
Yes, I keep hearing that. I'm just glad it's over.
Right, you're like, why the fuck am I paying for this huge party for my friends? So then when it's over and she's so relieved, she's not going to remember that last night you told her, I'm not taking my fucking shoes off in our goddamn house, our house, because I fucking live there. And I paid for fucking 40% of it. And I want to thank you again for doing the down payment. It's amazing that your parents co-signed on this. Biggest thing for me is I really feel that Dear Jonah, the special, is going to just get us to the next level.
It's crushing it.
You got to do.
How do you feel about it?
You have to do. I'm happy. I think everybody releases a special and says, I wish this was doing better. But every 500,000 people that see it, you're like, I just know they enjoyed it. And especially this one. I think, though, that, you know, we're having that problem. This is what everybody's saying, is everybody tunes out at between 15 and 20 minutes.
Well, that's specials across the board.
Which is why I made it 45 minutes, but it kind of doesn't matter if everybody jumps off after 15 minutes.
I want to say this as a friend and also just a appropriate plug. I have a tough time. I think most comics do. I don't know how, and I think the 15-minute marker is probably for most people that are just enjoying specials.
Civilians, yeah.
It's tough for me to watch a full thing. I've always been a big fan of yours. I've told you that every time I've, you know, had you on the pod, and I know complimented you live in the flesh, because you're just one of my favorite comics to watch. So when I see it, I go, oh, I already know I'm going to watch the whole thing. I just know I am. And then 5 minutes in, the club vibe I really dug. Zany's, it was a great, you know, I've been there a handful of times, but I was like, oh, I've never seen anything shot here. Yeah. You had great coverage on it. The room sounded great. Your energy was great. It looked great. And it was just fucking funny, man. Like,
I appreciate
and
that,
it was very TJ. It was like, yeah, you had riffs. You were breaking the fourth wall with the crowd. Like, the bits, it was cut well. It was tight, too. There was no, like, dead air, but it was also breathing on its own.
Yeah, I try to do that. I mean, I think one of the funny things about you is that you will present an idea, give it time, right, for people to get it, and then you'll just hit the punchline. And I think if you don't allow yourself that space and it's too, then the audience feels like it's forced.
Yeah.
And then they tune out a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll watch the whole thing, but they're kind of like, it doesn't really matter that we're here, both live and I think on, you know, during a special.
Yes.
And I think some people do that. They're just so, that's their rhythm. But I think you're good at taking your time. And that doesn't hurt the laugh. Mm. The laughs are still, you know, they're still really, really big.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that I tried to do that, but I also knew it was going to be on YouTube, you know? And so I think, you know, I'm really proud of it. I think it's really, really great.
I was going to ask, because I think every comic has the overly critical, like.
How do you feel about your stuff when you, like, because you're involved in the editing.
Oh, yeah. I try to get very specific about it, and then just
objective. Are you able to be objective about it?
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, again, I think sometimes probably overly critical and being like, oh, I like, I have to get a buddy to go like, I really like that, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I need to value that opinion, because I'm looking at it.
You've seen it a thousand times.
I'm thinking also maybe like how a comic would respond to it, or just myself and knowing, oh, maybe I shouldn't have that in there now because I bet it's going to be better in a month.
What do you think? Yeah, yeah. And I've been doing just a little bit of material on my live dates. TJ Miller does not have a website.com. Bunch I wasn't going to pay $2,000, not in 2003.
To get TJ Miller?
Yeah.
Who's got it?
Some fucking guy who was like, give me $2,000. I was like, you give me a reason.
It's probably Gary
that
from
Rite Aid. I won't laugh at you, Gary, because you don't know how search engines work. But, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, do you think about people's reactions, like civilians? Or, because you also strike me as a guy, do you really think about like how comics are going to look at it?
A little bit. I think you're... Yeah, I always, yeah. Yeah, but also but then, you know, devil's advocate, you're like, all right, I don't think Sebastian's going to watch my special.
Well, no,
but
no,
maybe he is.
But not even that. Who gives a shit what he thinks?
Yeah.
If you've got an audience that loves it. But I think you're right. It's like you do want people, especially heroes, kind of, you do want them to watch it. And
if they did
great.
Watch it, right? Like they're, for whatever reason, because if it is, you know, like yours is on YouTube and so easily accessible to where somebody can mention it, boom, watch it
right
that
there.
Night.
And yeah. If you put it in, you know, the link for the podcast, if you know, if it's in the,
oh,
then
yeah.
People can watch this,
oh, yeah.
And then go down and click and then you're suddenly there.
Go do it.
But I think I really reminded myself, and I wanted to ask you about this. Yeah. I just kept saying to myself, like, it just doesn't matter. Except for the people watching it. Mm. It just doesn't matter that so-and-so loves it who you know in Hollywood, but it really matters that someone in Toledo, Ohio had a fucking shitty day
yes.
at their insurance job and they go home and they're like, wow, that is so funny.
Yep.
I loved watching that. You know what? When I have a bad day, I'm going to watch it again.
Wow.
That's how good it is.
You get those messages.
I do. And I get, I have always gotten that about certain movies and television shows.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But I think it means a lot more to me when somebody loves my stand-up than Silicon Valley, because I'm like, you're not going to watch Silicon Valley again. You're going to watch these movies, Office Christmas Party. You're going to watch that every year. But you're not going to watch Silicon Valley. You're going to watch it once, and you're never going to watch it again unless there's a pandemic.
Also,
even then, you do. But if it's the stand-up, then I feel
it's
like...
It's also all you. That's like all, right?
Yeah,
like, does that mean more when it's...
And they're excited... because it is you and they can just tune into it for however long some other day to make themselves feel better. And that's kind of all I care about. So I have to remind myself of that when I start to do what I think you do,
yeah.
Which is go, I hope this is garnering the respect from fellow comedians that it deserves because I've worked so hard on it. It doesn't really matter because you're not performing for other comics.
Can I ask you this? When
of course.
When did you?
What do you think,
Mo? When did we start? By the way,
you're good.
We're good. A 30. We can do another 30. Are you good? Or do you got
to
bounce?
No, I'm great. I don't have to meet Michael Bay until later this evening.
Ooh, just a little din din. That's a great little Hollywood excursion.
It is.
What do you think you'll talk about?
I've got this movie idea that some other people have expressed interest in.
Let's go.
And let us go. Let us to the wind. I'm trying to get that to work. Doesn't.
You should be in all the movies all the time.
Well, and so I kind of have this thing and I want to kind of talk to him about it.
Great.
And I think it's very up his alley, but not at all.
Cool.
So I'm going to go and do that. And then he's so funny. He's a Hollywood maverick, but he knows he kind of has to play the game. But he loves that I don't always play the game.
Ooh.
So he's kind of a fan for that reason. And then I did Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. It's a small indie film. You guys probably didn't see it. It was at the North by Northwest Festival.
Toyota Corolla that turns into
you obviously haven't seen it. But yeah, it's a great film. It's just about 2 hours too long. And I think one day people will really appreciate it. It's going to be a cult classic, I think. It didn't make a lot of $1 billion in the, but well, you know, look, it's not
back
about
in the day.
The
that was a lot of money.
It's back in the day. It was really something. If a movie made $100, you'd say, I think that's pornography.
Was it?
I think I just paid $100 to watch pornography.
Yo, real quick.
At a Times Square adult video store.
Is there a porn out there that's garnered $1 billion? Is there a porn out there equivalent that where people go, that's the avatar of porn?
I know, right? The Avengers Endgame of porn. It's called Avenging the Dick.
Yep.
Avenging the Wiener.
Thank you.
The first game. The beginning game.
It's called Second Base.
It's called
Two Second. Fingers Deep.
Just Nasty Daddies.
Ed Burley story. I don't know.
Nasty
Daddies.
Throat.
Nasty Great Daddies. Porn title.
I made a
Great
joke.
Hall & Oates cover band.
I made a joke at I forget where I was. I think it was, well, it must have been Miami or something. And it was
Miami.
So funny. It's always Miami. It was so funny. Where was I? I was just somewhere that was like kind of warm, but not as warm as you would have thought
Hot
it
Topic.
Was. I think it was Hot Topic. I mean, I always think I'm going into Spencer's Gifts until I look around and go, there's a lot more Rick and Morty shirts in here than I thought there should be.
How come there's no like daytime talk show called Hot Topic?
I don't know. Yeah, it kind of means the world. Instead, it's Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do. I'll watch what happens when you're fucking dead. It would have been so funny if I remembered the name of the host,
because
that would have been perfect, but I don't.
It's okay.
We'll
edit it in.
We'll edit it all the way in.
You were somewhere hot. You said something funny.
I said to them, what is the deal with this step family porn stuff?
Nice.
And I had made some other joke, and I was like, making fun of him. I was like, oh, TJ, what are you going to tell me now? That there's an entire genre of stepdad and stepdaughter, stepbrother stuff. Is that what you're going to try and put together? And the whole audience got weird. Ooh. Not silent, but you could tell that all the women were like,
there was a shift.
Is that real?
Yeah.
You could tell the guys being like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think so. I wouldn't know from personal experience. And the women were like, how often are you looking at porn? So it totally changed the dynamic of the room. And the only way you can get out of that, of course, is talking about pegging.
Yeah.
Mo, you're familiar.
Mo wrote the book on pegging.
No, you done it? Yeah, he did. It's a pamphlet. It's not that long, but it'll tell you you're going to get fucked on this one. And that will be the best joke of my performance in what happened exactly last evening.
Did you
try and name it that?
What?
Other names?
Oh, for this?
What did end up happening the previous evening?
Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah, it's just like the dog names. You got like less is more, cut the fat. Cut the fat was going to be one of the possible names.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Cut the fat about 5 hours ago.
Do you think Dave Coulier came up with cut it out, or do you think, like, did Full House encourage ad-libbing?
That would be really interesting because...
Or did Miller Boyette tell him what to do?
Boyette. I love Miller, but Boyette. Boy, no thanks.
Boyardee.
Boyardee. We're going to have too many chefs in this kitchen. So it would be weird to know, did somebody write that?
That's what I'm saying.
Or did he improvise it? Because if he improvised it, does he look back and think, why did I do that?
What was I
doing?
It's
defined me. Because Rob Schneider once said, I think I heard this from somebody who works with him, but it makes total sense. He said that Adam Sandler flew him in, told him it's just a quick thing, but I think it would be so funny if you do it. And just get in there and kind of be like, you can do it. And that's it.
Get the fuck out of
here. And Rob was like, okay. And he never thought, he just thought it was a moment in a movie.
It was.
He probably was like, bummer, I can't do more in it because I'd be more memorable.
He 1,000% was.
And so he did it. And I think he decided to be like, you can do it or something like that. I think he made the decision to say it like he did.
Yeah, he was bearded, dirty, covered like a swamp guy.
And it's forever.
It's forever. It might be, I'd put it up there with my wife and-
100%, and that's a great point.
Yeah, baby, you know, like-
Yeah, oh, yeah, baby.
If you
yeah.
had like the plush doll that was like top 10 catchphrases
yeah.
from pop culture.
That's a great point.
We just knocked down three of them, but- You can do it. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to find.
Now I think that people don't yell it as much, but I, in Philosophy Circus, which is my next special, I juggle. I do a lot of circus stuff.
Oh yeah, because you really juggle.
And I can really juggle. And always when I tell them the big trick that I'm going to do, no matter what, people are like, you can do it. And then my joke, because I have to mention it, my joke on stage is little Hollywood, you know, folklore. But whenever somebody yells, "You can do it," Rob Schneider sheds a tear. And he doesn't even know what's going on.
And Bazooka Joe sheds a tear. No, the Indian in the bubble gum. What is it? There's a gum.
I literally could not know less of what you're talking about. You said Bazooka Joe, there's an Indian in the bazooka. And that, I mean, it didn't even, I don't think there is anything like that.
Isn't there a gum? There's a fucking.
Absolutely not. I don't even need to hear the end of it.
A Bazooka Joe rapper.
No, no. In a Bazooka Joe rapper? What the fuck?
Bubblegum Charlie.
You're basically like, and then a Latinx person has a rapper come out of their bazooka. That's what I call noses. That's how impenetrable, unrelatable.
God.
No, you're right. There's a Native American and they see all the pollution and just a single tear.
For real?
Yeah. Does he not know the thing he was referencing? The only thing you knew about that was Native American and Bazooka Joe. And then you try to figure out how to fucking shoehorn that shit in. Lord God, how is this happening? And we've offended the majority of the Bazooka Joe community.
They're not watching.
They're not. They never tune in.
They don't have the internet.
No, I think actually he loves it. But people have stopped yelling it. And it's just like you never think those are going to be the hugest things. But they end up always being.
Have you had one? I'm sure. Silicon Valley has got
to
be there.
No, I think there's. You brought piss to a shit fight.
Yeah.
Who, that was definitely, I think that was Alex Berg's line, who is the showrunner,
yeah.
Who I didn't really get along with, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's called the workplace.
Thank you.
And then the avocado, recently, wherever I was last, I was in Tacoma, Washington.
I was just going to say, yeah.
And somebody came up to me, these two like pretty like fucking hardcore people, and they're like, "Can you just please say the avocado line from Deadpool?"
Wow.
So I definitely get that. And then I get people going, "There's no such thing as an ugly candle," or something. It's from Already a Brother, which is a movie. So that's a deeper cut.
By the way, put that on your watch list.
Yeah.
And that's an underrated
film. Then another deep, deep cut is, there's who brought the good news bear? Somebody give her some fucking honey. And that was from She's Out of My League.
Yes.
But they, you know, people will kind of, Laser Free, So Bring Some Chicks. And that's from Extract, which was another Mike Judge thing. Yep. I have little lines in a lot of different movies where people are like, "That's fantastic." It is fun when somebody says a line and it's amazing. And then I will have just done a movie and I'm like, "Have you seen The Stand-In?" And they're like, "No." So I just think that's so funny. They're like, "I love this movie. You should see my most recent film." "Nah, I don't want to do that."
Yeah, could you just be with me right here with the thing that I like?
Say the avocado thing again, just please.
Oh.
Jin Yang.
Yeah.
People want me to yell Jin Yang. But that sort of stopped. It's weird. I talk about this in my next special. There's kind of levels of fame. And
this is the one you're going to do in San Diego with all the stories and stuff. Yeah.
What?
This is the one you're going to do in San Diego with all the stories.
Yeah, exactly. And so I talk about how there are different levels to fame. But yeah, it's like after a while, people don't really want you to say stuff or something because it's not as present. They're just like, "I love you in this movie," or "I love this television show that you were in."
Yeah.
And that's really, really nice. But I'm happy to always, and I can talk about this with you, in that show Crashing with Pete Holmes. He kind of had a part where I like repeat a line and take pictures with people. And I think he was sort of, him and Judd Apatow were sort of saying like, "That's what you're going to be. You'll be sort of the guy with the catchphrase from the show," or something. And what ends up happening is you do that for a little while, but then people kind of are like, it's just like once you get famous enough, they don't ask for pictures. Like I take pictures with a lot of people now, but less people ask me for that because I've been famous longer. And so they're like, "Oh, you know, I don't want to bother that guy. He gets it all the time."
Sure.
But I'm always happy to take a picture and I'm always happy to do the line. I think that's fine. If they want to, if that's the story they're looking for, then yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do this thing.
What's it costing you?
Like, I asked him to do it. Oh man, it was so funny. He totally did. It wasn't as good as in the movie, but he was taller than I thought he was.
A lot less
be.
Lights and cameras. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
He was bigger. He was bigger than I thought he would be.
What a funny thing to say. It wasn't as good as when he did it in the movie.
I like that some people go, you know, I came here to see you because I really like you in like the TV show or this movie. And
you didn't do that.
Oh, man, no, you were actually pretty funny. I'm like, fuck. Just say I was funny.
God, I know. What's with the long-winded, like, roundabout compliment?
I don't know. It's like when people go, you know, you got me to laugh, and I don't laugh at anything. Or how about, really hard.
I actually don't like comedy.
Yeah.
I'm actually not a fan of humor.
Laughing. Being happy.
Being happy.
But you seem to make me giggle three times throughout the hour-long show.
My boyfriend dragged me here. And
yeah, that's it always. Because my boyfriend was a fan, I said, I don't know who the fuck Adam Ray is.
Boy, oh yeah.
So then he had to convince me, and I said, well, you better go down on me after the show.
I got one.
Otherwise, I'm not going with you.
I literally got one of those in Rockford, Illinois, two nights ago.
Did you?
I don't know who, so first of all, I don't know who you are. And I would just go, awesome, I don't know who you are.
Yeah,
I
love that.
Now we're on an even playing field.
That's the line every single time.
Right back, I'm not offended.
I don't know who the fuck you are.
Because the first few times
my boyfriend was a fan, not me, though.
Not me.
And I go, well, my boyfriend's not a fan of yours. And she goes, where's your boyfriend?
I'm
like, right over here.
With a fiance.
Now he's going to suck my dick while both of us look at you and go, no thanks.
How's that for a story?
Yeah.
I'll sign your shirt.
How do you like that? Yes, I will sign your shirt.
Did you have a crazy...
Please, please, will you please buy my merch, which is my wife wants me to get rid of this.
Yeah. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast, and I'm sitting down because I got some big news. Usually I'm standing up to do comedy, but I'm sitting down now because I got the deal of a lifetime. First of all, sitting is bad for you. We all know that, whether we're sitting on planes or sitting on a beanbag chair watching porn in front of our kids. There's just too much damage you do on the body. Thankfully, Axion has come up with a chair that allows your pelvis to move the way it does while you walk. So all 33 vertebrae align into perfect posture. The result? Better breathing, better blood flow, and relief from the pain. It's crazy what you can do when you set your body to do it. Now, these guys are homies of mine. My buddy Dennis worked with the Clippers as their doctor for 27 years. He runs a wellness center called Peak Wellness. He's a fucking gangster and has saved me from surgery numerous times. I actually met Justin Bieber at his place. And I was in my boxers getting cupping done. And Bieber and I locked eyes. And I was like, this is how we were supposed to meet. And Bieber smiled and I never saw him again. This chair is a game changer. It's changed the way I live. It's changed the way I breathe, the way I sit. And you guys right now can get that chair for 25% off using the promo code ALN25 at all33.com. It's incredible. You got to get it. It's the only chair out there to get. We will be getting them for the studio. Go to all33.com and use promo code ALN25 for 25% off this chair. Did you have a crazy audition story for Transformers the way you did for Yogi Bear? Or was that just a come on in?
Yes, but it was different. That actually was the first time. See, I don't do well on tape. Mm. I can do a great audition for sure. But my real, because if we're stand-ups, I'm sure you're the same way.
Live in the room, baby. Audition,
yeah, you want to be in the room.
Give me a
and
crowd.
Now they're making everybody do on tape because of the fucking pandemic. But I went in there and I was on tape because Bay was, I'm sure, doing something else. I mean, he's always every day doing something. So he said, I want to, you know. So I go in there and I do the audition. And it's really funny because I also was like, I don't want to be in Transformers. And they asked me for, you know, to audition.
Oh, really?
I don't want to be in Transformers because I was like, I already did Yogi Bear 3D. That was a fake. That's why I did that gotcha. As a joke to be able to introduce me as a stand-up comic.
Cool.
Of course, I love doing Yogi Bear 3D and I was such a... Anna Faris was like my only celebrity crush. That's it.
Whoa.
So she was in it. And I was like, oh my God.
Cool.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We starstruck.
So much fun. Yeah, not really.
And you make her laugh and then it's all good.
Then it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, yeah, I just, oh my God. I really was like, so I'm not starched, but I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is happening. And so I love doing
moment.
Yogi Bear 3D.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know, Transformers 4, I don't really want it. My managers were like, well, it does a lot for your worldwide box office. And in my mind, I'm like, who gives a shit about your worldwide? You know, I'm here to entertain America.
Yeah.
And that's not true, but that's what I saw. And so I went in. It's like, all right, I'll do this, but I don't care. And go in and they give me these sides and they're like kind of funny. Like, I'm like, I can make this funny actually. So I do my sort of what's funny about it. And, And then I said to him, I go, so what's the process now? Like, if he likes it, then we come back in and audition for him. And they're like, no, I think this will do it. This, I think the tape will do it. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, we're pretty, that was really funny. And I was like, okay. So I felt like I did a good audition. I fucking forgot about it.
Wow.
And then they call and they're like, yeah, he liked your tape. So he wants you to be in the movie. And I was like, just off the tape?
Cool.
And they said, yeah, why? You didn't like? I was like, no, I mean, it's fine. But off the tape, he wants me to be in the movie?
He's like, they also saw you in Nasty Daddies. And
oh, God, they love that pornographic film. It's about 2 hours too short.
They were a big
fan. Give it over!
They were a big fan of the way you came too early and said, oopsies.
CTE. Oh, no! Well, Daddy came home early for Christmas. But
creepiest,
you know,
way to announce it, came too early.
And then later, right, exactly. Oh. And then you don't want to say that in bed. Ooh, Daddy came early for Christmas. No, I don't, that wasn't what I put on my wish list. Me either. Help me put this pickle in the peanut butter. That's all ridiculous. So on set, yeah, like we've been working together for a while. And then on set, he was like, you want me to tell you when I knew that I wanted to shoot the movie?
Oh, very cool.
He showed me the audition, and it was, I made a fake joke where I like threw the football but didn't get it. It's in the movie. And he was like, there. That was so funny. But he also had seen me in Silicon Valley. He was like, you're really funny in Silicon Valley.
Helps to be another shit to get another shit.
Yeah,
it?
I think that's right. But I also think, you know, it's like you just need to do, I always say this about auditioning, just pick that one moment. It usually should be at the end, but riff a line that no one else does. In a moment that you know you can be funny, just focus on that moment. And then the rest of the audition should just be you doing nothing. Just, that's the only, this is for film. But in film, just don't try at all, but pick that one thing where you want to just really knock it out of the park. And if you do, you'll get hired. Because they don't need it to be the perfect audition. They just need it to be something memorable and amazing. So that's kind of what got me there. So it's not as much fun as auditioning with a real bear for Yogi Bear 3D,
right?
Which is a lot of fun. But it is something in that realm, kind of, you know?
Wow. That's so cool that he was a fan enough to like go out of his way to tell you. Like that's a guy that loves the process and
he's
loves
great
world.
Though, you know, and I think some people say, oh, he yells a lot and he's fucking crazy on set or something. But what I came to understand is when you're wielding $200 million, $300 million,
come on.
You who can do that? Like 15 people in the last 20 years. So why, of course he's acting differently than other people. Of course he has to be more hardcore and good, because every minute is like $100,000, it feels like.
Oh yeah. What is the thing right now that you're most enjoying about stand-up? You know what I'm saying? Like putting out a spec, are you in, is it a turning the page entirely where it's like, not forgetting about Dear Jonah, now streaming on YouTube, but is it, you know, can you check in on comments or like have people tell you how it's going? Or are you just kind of like, I did it, it's up, it's out, on to the next. I don't really want to look back.
But I have two in the can. I'm excited to edit Philosophy Circus.
That's what's next.
Yeah. But I also, I'm excited to hear what people think about Dear Jonah. I don't know. I want more people to see it, obviously, but the comments and how people feel about it is like stellar. It's just interstellar. It's through the roof. I'm so happy about that. The thing I'm most excited about is I did, not Spokane, Tacoma. You have this too, where you just like forget where you were or where you're headed.
They're both in Washington. Tacoma's an hour from Seattle.
Yeah, but still, people be like, what did you do last week? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Look at my website. I have no idea. Where are you going to be next weekend?
Got to be somewhere.
Look at my Instagram. And so we're kind of, I don't know. I mean, I think.
Do you riff a lot on stage or do you
write?
A lot.
Yeah. But not when I'm preparing for a special, which has been frustrating. So I've been riffing a little bit more, but then thinking, TJ, just do your work. And so first show Saturday in Tacoma was an awesome show. Mm. Awesome audience. And I had done a 420 show beforehand.
Yeah.
So I'd smoked weed because the show was actually
Tyler's show, right?
You do it? Yes.
Yes.
Have you done it?
I'm going to do it in
you're gonna
Thanksgiving
love it.
In Seattle.
Oh, of course. You'll kill it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you're from there.
Yes.
You're like a big deal there.
I'm all right. Yeah.
No. Everybody says that. They know. They go, Adam Ray, and he's
they're claiming
me
a little bit.
They always go this. They always go, you know, he's from here.
Yeah, oh, cool.
And I love how quickly they say it.
I love that.
It's so funny that they're like, instead of, you know, actually, he's from here. They're just like, you know, he's from here, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in the area. So, no. So he comes back here, you know, for like holidays and stuff. But he's great. I mean, he's amazing. But he's, cool. You know, he's from here. And so he did that show. So I got kind of high because you do a regular set, then you go, you get high, and then you do a set.
Wait, so how was that, by the way?
I smoke weed.
Yeah.
I'm from Colorado.
Yes.
I smoke weed.
The first two places.
Yeah, the first two, and I talked about that also. It's great.
Good move.
And people have a really interesting, it's a very strange cannabis culture. So I smoked weed, but like I can smoke weed and still get the job done. I don't get high before I go on stage.
Yeah.
And I don't go on stage if I'm drunk. I'll be a little tipsy. Yeah. And I think in the past people have been like, no, that's drunk.
Yeah.
But I just don't do that because I can't be as fast. I can't kind of.
I was just going to say
riffing.
That's the exact. If you do any sort of connecting with the audience where you're breaking the wall and you're going off script and you feel like you've got a pretty good handle on it, you're just. Nobody is better when they're fucked up a little bit. As far as being quick, because your response time is just.
Yeah, it's just a physical thing. But you smoke weed, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you love it, and I love it.
Very high yesterday.
But so you can. Great. And today in about 12 minutes. And so.
I thought about hitting you up to well, next time you come through, we'll do that.
Yeah, we can smoke. And absolutely. Yeah. And so, but I got on stage and I'm not. So what I just did is I leaned into the high mentality. So I wasn't like faking. I just was like, okay, let me do a set and just pay attention to the fact that I'm high.
Yes.
So that went really well. But then of course, you know, you're not high by the next show.
Right.
But it affected me in terms of the chill out factor. Mm. And I did something that I thought was really interesting. I said, I'm really not going to yell during this set. I'm going to try and take everything and notch it back a little bit. And it worked. And it started working. I was like, let me bring this to every. So then I really did work. I did all my material. And it was really interesting because some things got a bigger response. Mm. Some stuff, no.
Yeah.
Some stuff, of course, they want you to be like, well, I told Gary no thanks or whatever. But other stuff worked well. So that's what I'm excited about is like, I think I'm at a place with my stand-up because I haven't been touring as long as you. Almost everybody who's like a big comic has been doing it longer than I have. So I've really only been doing stand-up full-time 5 years, and the pandemic was in the middle of that. So that's really only 4 years, 3.5 years. And so I'm excited about the fact that now I've been on the road enough that I really do feel like...
In the groove, in the pocket.
And I'm trying to improve my stand-up by doing things a little differently.
Cool.
So that's what I'm most excited about.
You have never had a shortage of like risks that you're ready and willing to take, which is one of the first things that I like. Really dug about you, admired, even in Dear Jonah now streaming on YouTube, the, what do you call it? The visor, the mask?
Yeah, the face shield.
Like even just-
it's so stupid.
Like pulling that out and then having a lot of funny play with it is like, you could definitely go, well, that's, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Because to you, it's just an effortless, like, oh, like I'm going to try this and I'm confident I'm going to make it funny. And that is something that I think anyone who's starting stand-up or been doing it 30 years is constantly striving to just always live in that, like, I'm trusting in myself enough to know I'm going to make it funny.
Well, and I think that also I'm laughing about the fact that I kept the face shield on even after I needed to.
1,000%.
So that makes me laugh a lot too. But I've done that. I'll take all the risks, but I think I need to, I'm excited to be just reining it in a little bit more. I've had some friends who tell me I'm sort of the opposite of Nate Bargatze. Hmm. Because I think he's so hysterical, but he just is doing his material. And if somebody interrupts him, then they have to leave. Whereas, and he's the best guy, he's so fucking funny. Whereas when somebody interrupts me, suddenly the show becomes about that.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to say about last night. I'm having trouble. Having more trouble than I would have hoped. So great story. Kate, we went to college together, and Kate saw me, and I would always smash a plastic water bottle against my head when I was like done with it. She thought it's so cool. She's like, how do you do that? And I was like, you just crunch the front of it and then you go, so use your hands. She's like, okay. And then she's like, I'm going to do it. She finished a water bottle, right? And then she goes to do it and bounces off her head. You know why? Because she put the lid back on. So it's just filled rookie with mistake. Air
yeah.
beyond rookie. That's just fucking weird.
That's not even Nathan not even Fillion stupid. Rookie.
It is weird.
Yeah.
So it just bounced off her head. And I was like, you gotta take off the-
Twist it, baby.
And she kind of was like, I'm never doing that again. I was like, all right, well, you just have to, just give it a twist.
Do you get a lot of comedy from your guys' day to day? Like, she sounds as goofy and silly as you, or just-
Well, you heard it. My favorite thing is that for a while, we were like, oh yeah, bom yes. bom. A dee 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 bom bom. Oh yeah. So when we were saying yes, we would just say, oh yeah. Do you want to see a movie? Oh yeah. And she's like, bom bom. So we were at a restaurant and this guy was like, do you have any? The waiter, not this guy, the waiter, just some dude. Hey, what's up, guys? You want dessert? So. The waiter goes, did you guys save room for dessert? And I don't know why, but I just go, oh, yeah. And then Kate was like, bow, bow. And the waiter was like, chica-chica.
No.
He had to do it.
No.
Chica-chica. Do, 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 bow, bow. Oh, yeah. Bow, bow. Chica-chica. Do, 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 bow, bow. Oh, yeah.
If this guy did not get employee of the month that day.
I mean, I love that he did that.
It's the ultimate yes and.
But so there's jokes. Exactly. There's jokes that I kind of get from that. I have a joke kind of about how there's a lot of heroin addicts on 6th Ave right near our house. But yeah, and that kind of came from something Kate said. So I definitely get some stuff from her.
Do you run stuff by her?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. But, a lot of times we're both laughing. I'm like, I got to try that on stage.
Yes.
But I'm talking about, in this next special, I'm going to talk about, we went through, like, fertility stuff.
Oh, wow.
Not IVF, but basically the same thing. And it's just such a funny story. She was like, I don't want you really telling people. I go, watch the bit. Let me do the bit.
Yeah.
And she watched it. She was like, yeah, that's funny. That's not really about it. So it's cool with regards to that. But there's other stuff that's so funny that she doesn't want me to talk about.
Oh, no.
So I'll tell you on the podcast because she won't listen to this. But like one time she was, and I just wouldn't do this in general, but like one, this is so funny. This is the only place I'll ever talk about this ever. She sort of gave me what was equivalent to a hand job.
Great.
Towards the end of something exciting. And she just
six.
Held it like a fucking fire hose that she didn't want to. And then she released and it just shot right in my eye. And I got to say, well, first of all, why are you whoopsies? Whoopsies, daisies. Today's gotten crazies. I immediately understood women in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want for this to have happened. It's kind of ruined my day. So why am I imposing the possibility of this on other women?
Wow.
Well, on one woman.
Yeah.
But that was funny because she felt bad, but she also was kind of like, see?
Very funny.
Now you know.
Wow. Tables have turned.
The tables had turned.
Right.
And some of it hit the table.
Well, good for you.
I was sitting on the table. I was nude. On the table on my back, waiting for my diaper to be changed so she could peg the shit up. Guys,
it's all
this
in the
isn't
pamphlet.
What this is about. It's all in the About Last Night pamphlet.
I remember one of the first jokes I heard you do at the Ha Ha Comedy Club was, you go,
yeah, that's right. You and I used to get down in North Hollywood.
You go, some people like to 69. I like the 39. You go,
96.
96, which is?
Just back to back, butts to heads. Oh, yeah. I was doing that one for sure. Ha Ha Cafe was so funny because there were no white people in the audience.
Very diverse.
It was all Latinx.
Yep.
And then there were some black people there.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a club that was not. And so I think it's great that you played that because you were up there fairly often.
A lot. Well, that was one of the first clubs.
Yeah, and then one of the first clubs that I got into also. Teaches you a great, it's so great.
Oh, man, yeah. And it was, when I was doing open mics, it was the first one that would let, that put me on weekend shows with paying audiences that wasn't surrounded by comics.
You're that Teflon that it doesn't matter the audience or who's in the audience, you're still killing. And
I'll show you some.
That's
tapes.
What I please do.
Oh yeah. Was that Mo Better Mondays about circa 2018?
And I do those shows too. Oh,
man, I followed a guy that was like, "You ever get that foot? That foot pussy? The pussy that smell like a foot? You know what I'm talking? The foot pussy." And I'm in the back going, I can't follow
fucked.
This.
I am fucked.
There,
and
the audience pussy. Is losing their goddamn minds.
Foot
and I,
pussy.
Foot pussy. And guess what? Very funny. Like the energy. I wish I could remember
relatable.
The name of the comic.
Relatable.
It was just so opposite of what I was about to do.
Of course, but you in any situation can get that done. And I play Mo Better Mondays. And where did you start?
Comic Store.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So
here, yeah.
Yeah. But so, you know,
but all
Denver is not that like diverse. It is kind of where I went to high school was. It's mostly Black and Latino, Latinx. And so this kind of, I think I'm allowed to say Latino and Latina and others.
Can't you?
That can also be a way to say Latinx.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I started in Chicago. Mm. And Chicago, I was one of the only people to do the South Side. And the South Side was this place, Jokes and Notes, and I'd done one or two other, it was mostly Jokes and Notes, and that was an all black audience. And I would go down there and do it because I could riff, and I, you know, and they love, I go up, ladies, if you want a good credit score, talk to me after the show. And they fucking love that.
Yeah.
You know, that's so hilarious. And so I did a lot of that. So Ha Ha Cafe, I was like, this is perfect for me.
Yes.
And it was really the only place in Los Angeles that would start working me because I just didn't have the credits to get in.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, you go up there and you do, the, you know, you do the same material.
Yeah.
And you just got to be confident and not feel like, so yeah. And that made total sense because you are a dude who will just go up and you're fearless.
Man, you know, I don't know. There's, and you probably have this in New York. There's just, I try to not, you know, and sometimes to a fault if I'm in a city and there's after, I was in San Francisco and they were like, come to this, you know, if you want to come to this open mic after whatever, it's actually a cool little show, whatever. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'll go hang out with these young comics because they were just, you know, cool. And it was a one show, you know, Thursday. And, and the spot was pretty cool, so you know, went up towards the end and had fun, and then and kicked it with them for a little bit. But sometimes that backfires, and you're like, oh, this is
it
truly
fired for me recently.
Yeah, where I should have just said thank you, but no thank you, because I actually feel worse about myself.
Yeah, I can't. One, I went to an open mic in Denver just to check it out. I didn't want to get up, and they were so awful to me because Denver has such a strong opinion about me.
Oh.
The entire city loves me, and there's like woke comics that are like, fuck that guy.
Oh,
but recently here in LA, I was doing Brea, and this kid that opened, who was very funny, he said, you should come and do this room. They have shows midnight, 7 days a week, and it's like in Hollywood. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, that'll be fun. I'll go and do that. Because I live in Hollywood when I'm here. Mm. And so Supernova is my favorite show and all that kind of stuff. And I go, because he's like, come on. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'll go do an open mic.
Yeah.
I go down there. I follow a guy who was fucking the stool right before me, which I had never really seen.
Yeah.
Later, I would see it again in fucking Miami. But so he's fucking, no one's laughing, total silence. And then I get up there and start to kind of do material. And immediately it's clear, they're like, fuck you, celebrity. You think you can come in here? We'll see. Make us laugh. Do it. So that was the energy of the room.
Oh.
So I got sort of to a point where they were kind of laughing. Mm. And then I got off stage. I was like, why did I do this?
Yeah.
Didn't teach me anything.
No.
It was awful.
They thought you were trying to like, you know, put on a lesson or something.
Yeah.
Like, here's real comedy. You're like, no, I actually just thought it'd be cool to do a spot I don't usually get to do.
Just jump in and they're like, oh yeah, we've seen a lot of terrible people. Let's see.
Oh.
So that really was a lesson. I think my last lesson in you don't do open mics when you get to a certain point. And you know, the comedians are looking at you and they're expecting you to blow the fucking doors off.
Yeah.
And you're in the same situation they're in.
Oh, shit.
So it's basically impossible.
Yes.
And so you just shouldn't go and kind of put yourself in that position. But it's a bummer because I think you and I are the type of people that are like, what's going on with younger comics?
Holy man.
Let's see them perform.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's still fun to do a new room is always cool, right?
It is, but you've got to have real patrons in
there. Yes. It's got to be conducive for the show.
It does.
Are you excited for Halloween?
I like this. He's got all his stuff on his computer.
No, that was a riff. No. It was a riff question.
You riffed it?
Yeah.
I'm going to riff the answer. What do you think about that?
Go for it. How about this? Trick or treat? I'll be right back.
Trick.
We'll keep it in.
We'll keep it in. I do. I like trick more than treat.
Did you ever trick or treat as a kid? Did you ever dress up as a kid?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, and I would ever to this day, my costume is I dress up like a kid.
What kid?
Dress up as a kid.
What kid?
Just me.
Not a famous kid.
No, that would be funny.
You're like me when I was in second grade. My mom, well, yeah, you got a Macaulay costume. My mom bought me, she goes, I got you. I go, will you just get me a costume? I don't know what I'm going to be this year. Second grade. I'm at the peak of my fat kidness. And she goes, I got you a bird. I go, all right. Not a lot of famous birds out there. We got the Cocoa Puffs bird. We got Big
Love
Bird.
Love the Cocoa Puffs.
Love the Cocoa Puffs bird. He's got had a little bit of a rough spell, but he's back on track.
CTE, right.
This was 94. He was in the fucking prime Cocoa years.
It was happening
years.
For him, yes.
It was all happening.
The prime Cocoa years.
Tony the Tiger.
Adam Ray story.
Tony the Tiger hadn't really popped off yet. Cocoa Bird was like kind of the,
It was his land.
Yeah. The Flintstones and Fruity Pebbles hadn't really hit the shelves yet. So I go Big Bird, Tweety Bird even I throw in the mix. I'm just trying to
figure out who's it going to be.
Neither. Neither. None.
Neither.
Regular bird.
Neither.
Regular bird. Just a regular bird. Yellow beak, purple, feathers, eyes through the beak.
Where do you even get that costume?
Goodwill. Psych. Somewhere else.
Yeah, psych your mind. Worse.
I wear it. I come to find they make this the first, second, third graders parade through the fourth, fifth, and sixth classrooms.
No.
It's cowboys, it's Indians, it's Ninja Turtles, it's cops.
It's got to be Ninja Turtles.
It's, right. It's, slutty printers.
It's slutty printers.
Girls, dude. They're just always trying to even at that age.
Printing press?
I'm a printer, but then, cleavage.
Yeah.
See, we did things a little differently up there.
I think you did.
Joking, by the way.
If Mrs. Vitelli's class got crazy. Dressing up as people that print.
So we parade through, and I just hear under the mask, lots of giggling, lots of, that's the fattest bird I've ever seen.
Really?
Lots of, who the fuck is in that?
Yeah.
Because even as a second grader.
That's the dumbest costume, right.
Heard a lot of that. Heard of a lot of, look at that fat bird, classic. A lot of, what does that bird eat? Other birds. I mean, a lot of slams.
That's pretty funny.
Very funny. In hindsight, very funny.
What does that bird eat? Other fat birds?
Other fat Jewish kids dressed as birds in parades?
Yeah.
So we're going through.
It's very specific, but they're delicious.
But the specificity is what kills.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so I'm going through, and it's my sister's in one of the class. I hear friends of hers that come over to the house. I know I'm going to see later. Even some of the teachers were getting in on the action. Look at that fat Jew, right?
Jesus.
Just it was
so anti-Semitic.
Yeah, which was again uncalled for, funny in the moment, I guess. You want to roll the dice as a teacher? No one's looking at you for the comedy, so you're like, here's my chance.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit him hard.
It was bad. Bad
Fly
news
away.
Bears.
Yeah,
it was one bad. One kid said at recess because you go out in your costumes, and I remember it was like the cowboys and Indians and Ninja Turtles were all playing, and one kid, Joel Helgevold was his name.
Terrible name.
Sounds like a fake name for a fake kid.
Yeah.
Real kid, real name.
Real fake.
Said, real kid, real fake. That's the antithesis of the No Fear t-shirts.
I love that.
He goes, why don't you go sit in a tree and be on lookout as they were playing? I'm just a kid in a bird suit,
dude.
And
did you get up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got right up there. I was looking out for everything.
I was looking out for everything and everybody.
There's a pack of cheetahs coming. I told them. I saved Joe Helgerover's life. John Hoot Farmer. Joseph Helgehoots.
So close.
Why don't you climb a tree? That's awful.
Isn't it bad?
Are you excited about the Mariners?
Bro, it's been
it's the biggest thing in the world.
I'm going
21
I'm
years,
going to the
right?
game on Sunday. I'm gonna go back for it. I cried.
Did you really?
I did, yeah. I'm that emotional. I'm I'm not a big crier, but certain things, that's not true. Forrest Gump, when he finds out the kid is his, gets me every time.
We all cried about that.
Every
when
time.
When I found out he wasn't going to eat all the chocolates.
Bro.
I was a little baby girl.
Left him for the lady.
Disgusting.
Yeah, but I sobbed.
I was tracing pictures of unicorns as I cried.
Oh, you draw?
I don't draw.
Oh.
Just unicorn tracing.
Tracing's not drawing. Who said that?
So many people.
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy said it.
Tracing's not drawing.
It's one of my favorite movies. What's your favorite movie from when you were a kid?
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yeah, that's Kate's favorite movie as an adult.
Fine with that.
No, she loves it. I liked Dick Tracy.
I had the Dick Tracy watch. It's one of the few things my single mom saved up and bought. Was a Dick Tracy watch, and it had a little thing you could like talk to.
Yeah.
You're like, Al Pacino, bring me a McFlurry.
And
everybody's like, that's not how this works.
It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, and the watch doesn't work, and also you can't talk to Pacino through a watch.
No.
But every now and then I'd go, hoo-ah.
Yeah. She's got a great ass!
What is that from?
Heat.
Nice. Do you know, for a while when I was in the movie The Heat, and people would bring me up on stage and go, he's in the movie Heat.
And people would be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then you come out and they're like, The Heat? Oh, that's still cool.
Sure. They'd look at me being like, how old is this guy?
Yeah. I love that little, it was just silence. You go.
I feel like it was in a
parade.
But
The Heat is an amazing, that's a great movie.
A fun one.
It's an incredible movie.
Are you a big sports fan? You asked about the Mariners. Why'd you ask me that?
Because I was just in Tacoma, and it was the hugest thing in the world.
You were there when we clinched.
Yeah. And you won. When you won, it was
on stage?
The guy on 420. No, the guy doing the 420 show announced it because he was getting texts and stuff.
Wow.
But it's a big deal. And, you know, I thought it was so funny.
Brings the city together.
Everybody was so excited. Right. It brings Tacoma together. Spokane is going to claim it, but they should be talking about Idaho. Get over there. Just go away.
Just go. It's way closer.
No, I know you have fans from Spokane, so I'm going to say I was completely joking there. But it does. It brings the whole Washington state, including Eastern Washington, near Coeur d'Alene or what?
Yeah.
And so everybody was so excited about it. And I thought it was so funny. Right away, they're like, well, you know who's the worst now? The Angels.
Hilarious.
And I was like, oh.
Hard take.
Okay.
Hard take, hard
stance. And they're like, yeah, so now they're the fucking idiots. Yeah, they're screwed. But it's like the energy in part was like, ah, thank God we're no longer the one that hasn't been.
20-year drought, longest in sports.
Longest in sports. So it's good. It's exciting. So I was excited for you because that must
brother.
Be a bit, well, you cried. It must be a big deal.
Yeah.
Is it going to bring you closer to your mother?
So yeah, I called her.
Family
she
that
loves
just
it.
Loves it. Yeah,
pops loves it. Called some buddies. You know, I became friends with the Mariners announcer, so we talked right after.
Really, that's awesome.
That was extra cool because I listened to him as a kid.
So cool.
Now
of
homies,
course.
And literally got a insight like from him. Watch it, like what it was like.
That's so great.
And he just kind of and he told me, which then got me even more emotional. Was the other longtime Mariners announcer was like his hero because they worked side by side for 35 years, and then he passed about 5 years ago, and so he was just like, and so last time we were in the playoffs he was alive, and so Rick Riz is his name, the current announcer, and he was like, man, I just wish he was still here to see this. And I was like,
yeah, right,
too. God,
because that was the thing that was like not a huge sports fan, mostly concerned with movies and sort of stand up and all that, but the Kansas City Chiefs went to
Is that your team? If you have to claim a team,
no. So I
gotcha.
If I have to claim a team, it's going to always be Denver stuff. But the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl and they hadn't in like so long.
Yeah.
And the owner, did you work at Stanford and Sons Comedy Club?
Yes.
So Craig Glazer. Yeah, I'm telling it. The heroin story has him talking like this. And
I think that was his opener.
He
played a video. And then did a story and then brought the host up.
Yeah, exactly. And he would also always talk about the movie that he was going to make about his life. And he is a fascinating dude. But
didn't he die?
He did die. Yeah. And he died the year before.
Oh, no.
They went and he was the biggest Kansas City Chiefs fan. So what we did was.
There's the movie.
Because we know about him. Right, exactly. Me and my stand-up agent, who's a huge like friend of his, huge fan of his, thought he was so funny. So we both put like a crazy amount of money on the Chiefs, sort of in his honor, you know? And it's just too much money. We just put too much money. And then they fucking won. And it was amazing. And then the next year.
Did you cry?
the Chiefs. I think I did.
That's
because it was so much money.
Wow.
And it, I mean, I'm not talking about $10,000, but it was like a lot of money. And then we won. It was insane. And then we were like, what are we going to do next year? Because the Chiefs got it. And so we did another huge bet, not as big, and they lost. Oof. But when they won, that's what it is. It's I love sports when it has some sort of emotional connection, some sort of emotional component.
Yeah.
And so I got really actually, we did this. This is another funny thing. We were in Las Vegas at Wise Guys. And at the end of the weekend, they were like, do you want us to give you any cash? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you're gonna, because I never take cash, but I was like, I don't know. I'll probably fucking blow that. And then it led me to the story that Norm MacDonald in his rider, it was the whole rider, and then up top in red block letters, separate, it was like, do not give Norm money on the night of the settlement. Don't give him any cash, is what it said. And it was because he would go and he'd blow it at a casino, wherever the closest casino was. So that was so funny. So I found the rider and I showed it to everybody. We're laughing. And I said, you know what? Give us $1,000 and we'll go name it. And they couldn't do that. So they gave us $500 cash. And me and my buddy CJ Sullivan, who's hilarious on Instagram, you got to check out CJ Sullivan was taken. And we go and we're like, because I play craps, I don't bet on anything else. I was like, well, let's go find a great craps table. We went and we went to one craps table, it wasn't good. We went downtown because the strip's horrible. And then some locals were like, you should go to El Cortez if you're playing. We're like, how is it different? We go there, it's amazing. Everybody is there to play craps. The dealers love it. They're getting tipped all the time. We fucking play craps and we like built a table. All these people heard everyone cheering because CJ rolled and he hit 3 points.
Holy shit.
And we were like putting on the 6 and 8. There's only 3 bets in craps really. So we're doing that. Then I rolled and I hit like 5 points and 2 of them were 9s and I was fully stacked. I had like 3 or 4 times odds. When you hit a 9 and you've like done 3 or 4 times odds, you win like $1,000 right away. And so we did it and we fucking killed and we waited for somebody that had been for him to roll. It didn't go well. And then we just left and we did it all for Norm and Norm helped us win. So we kept our savings. Then we had the original Norm 500. We went to the sports book and we, you know, my buddy's like a professional gambler. CJ is kind of like, And then he decided, he goes, we're going to put the full 500 on the Avalanche to win because you're from Colorado. I know this is the best bet and Norm's Canadian, so he loves hockey. And we did it and we watched the whole way through and I kind of got closer to my father because he and I were talking about, because you know, he was falling like crazy and the fucking Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. And I was emotional because I was like, I want to go back and celebrate, do the whole thing. And they're my nephews, all my family lives in Denver. They were just going nuts. And that was amazing to watch that game, watch all of it. And when that happens, or when I always bet on the Super Bowl every year, when that happens, Kate kind of will come into it and love it. And so suddenly it's like me and my wife, she's not a sports fan, but we're just going nuts. We're so excited. So that's when I like sports.
Connect,
but you can get that from a movie whenever you put one on.
Yep, you can.
It's automatically in there.
You can. You know what else you can get? TJ Miller's special, Dear Jonah, on YouTube streaming
right now.
You
can get it streaming right now. It's free unless you're lazy and cheap and you don't get
Don't be either one of those. Be excited and profitable.
That's so great.
I'd like to throw a real quick 10 questionnaire inside the Actor Studio. I'm James Lipton. Getting to know TJ Miller real quick. We got 2 minutes. Here we go. What is your favorite word?
You're kind of doing the accent. I like that.
What is your favorite word?
What's your favorite word?
There it is.
It's like almost.
He was British.
It's almost Welsh. It's almost Sean Connery. What was your favorite word? Favorite word?
What is your favorite word?
I like important because I say it with the T's. Kate always makes fun of me about that. Important. I like botanical gardens. Denver. Yeah. I got married at the Denver Botanical Gardens.
Love that.
Because my wife says botanic gardens, so that makes me laugh. But my favorite word is probably surreptitious.
Great word. Use it in a sentence.
Surreptitiously. I was sort of surreptitiously trying to get Mo's phone number by doing this podcast. So?
We'll add in some laughter. What is your least?
We'll edit in some laughter.
What is your least favorite word?
I think it'd have to be something that everybody is saying, I don't know, fire in terms of using it as like, dude, that was fire.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, it's something like that. I think people should use mega more. I think mega is a pretty cool
word. Like Johnny Depp, it was a mega
point. You know, my favorite word actually is cool.
Love cool.
Kate and I talk about what is cool and what makes people cool and whether or not someone is cool or not. So I think there's so much behind the word cool. And
calm, cool,
I think,
collective.
You know what? I think bro. I hate the word bro. I hate when people say bro. Sometimes Kate and I will accidentally say bro to each other. I don't like that. But we call each other dude and man. She'll
like
be
that.
Like, what's up, man? What do you want to do right now?
Great.
She'll be like, dude, shut the fuck up.
What about bud?
I like bud.
My white rapper, my white rapper brother-in-law, Dirte, calls women broad still.
Yeah. Broad, I don't think really works. Doesn't do much for you.
Also,
I like chick.
Too much for you.
And babe. I love babe.
Love babe. Just
call a girl a babe. Every girl wants to be called babe.
Come on.
Any girl who's like, don't call me babe. It's like, I didn't call you like...
Well, that's because they saw the movie Babe and they were like...
And they want that to do, pig. They want that to do.
What turns you on?
My wife.
What turns you off?
No, that's just a joke. Yes. I didn't want to make it so
keep
happy.
It. What is your favorite curse word?
Broad.
Shots no, fired.
I don't like. I don't like. What's my favorite curse word?
Yeah.
Fuck whistle.
Cool.
I do like that one, but you know, I'm big into. Yeah, I do like that. I do. I think.
I like no, fuck not, with something not broad. Else.
I like fuck whistle, yeah. Fuck bucket.
Fuck bucket.
Shit master.
Fuck bucket was the original character name for Charlie Bucket in Willy Wonka's
exactly.
In the Chocolate Factory.
Mouth wiener.
Awesome.
I love that one.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, yeah, fuck can do so much for you.
Yeah.
I do like that.
What sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise?
Sound or noise do you love?
I like the sound of rain.
Me too. What sound or noise
it's
do you hate?
Great. My voice on someone else's voicemail.
Oh yeah.
No, I don't think it's. I don't hate it, but I always am surprised because my voice is very famous. A lot of people, if I wear a mask, they'll be like, "Oh, dude, I thought it might be you," but then when you talked, so I don't hate it. I'm just always surprised by it. I'm like, that's what I sound like, and that's what people
respond
you know?
To.
Yeah, it's weird.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Psychologist, maybe neuropsychologist or something like that. Something that has to do with the brain because I can speak to, I had brain surgery. I had some of my brain removed, all of that.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to talk to people about being bipolar or manic because I'm only manic. I'm not bipolar, but I struggle with mania because I have less brain matter. So it kind of overworks itself. But I think psychologist would probably be what I would do.
I think you would thrive in that actually.
I could see it.
What profession would you not like to do?
Acting. Just
kidding. No. Keep it. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, shit. I didn't clean the place at all. It doesn't look like this usually.
Wow, dude. What a good answer.
Just wait at the gates. Wait at the pearly gates. Give me like 10 seconds. I'm just going to throw. Then I come in and I'm like, oh, this is so big. You got a closet. Just shit falls out. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I don't know. You know, look, my wife's been out of town for a while. I'm like, who's your wife? He's like, Mrs. Claus. I'm like, wait a second.
TJ Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
Is Santa Claus God?
Dear Jonah.
Or is God Santa
streaming
Claus?
Streaming on YouTube now.
That was a surreptitious approach to religion.
You're the best.
Thanks for having me, man.
I love you, man.
I love it. Watch Dear Jonah. Watch all the way through.
At Teenage Millionaire on Instagram and Twitter.
Huge fan of Adam Ray.
Go see him live.
Go TJ, see him live.
Notanotherteenmovie.com is the website. What is it? Not TJ Miller does,
TJ
not,
Miller
have,
does not have a website.com. What the fuck is notanotherteenmovie.com? What if that? That would be hilarious if I had that. Go see Adam Ray live because I love you're so in the moment. Dear Jonah's in the moment. But don't you think?
Dear Jonah's so good.
And you strike me as a guy who every night when you go on stage, you're like, let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And that's
every show is different.
That's why I love watching you. And I think that's what you'll love about Dear Jonah.
Thanks
for having me.
Can't recommend enough. Was this fun?
This was my favorite. I always said to myself, I can't wait to be a guest a second time on what ended up happening the other evening.
Good night, everybody.